Good evening and welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces. And good evening, darlings. Thank you so much for joining us here in the late night. KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County, and you, City of Angels, LA. Ah, well, we're going to have a really fun time tonight, darlings, because in this first hour, we are being joined by a number of trailblazers, of those folks that are out there scorching the lands with truth and what they are trying to tell the truth about. What they are talking about is Scientology. Yes, and the reason why we are talking about tonight is because Tom Cruise is on a rampage. Have you seen that guy go unleashed? Absolutely unleashed on the airwaves with jumping on couches, binging off the ceilings, and attacking psychiatry. Now, I know some of you might agree with his views, and so that's fine. So you might be thinking, well, what's the alternative? What's the alternative then to psychiatric counseling and psychiatric pharmaceutical drugs? Well, could it be Scientology? And he has certainly opened up the floodgates for introspection as to what he's doing that's so dang doggone groovy and making him, you know, Mr. Superstar. And so tonight, we've invited members that have been with Scientology, who are those that are outside looking at it with a critical eye. And that's what the first hour is going to be about. It is going to be about a critical analysis of what is Scientology and why they have such a beef towards psychiatry in hour one. And then in the second hour, for something completely different, Andrew Harvey is going to be in town. And he's going to be joining us in the second hour. I really believe so. We are confirming that because he's going to be in town next Saturday. And he's going to be talking about, well, you know, to actually ascend, to actually be able to handle this world, it's about finding not only your divine masculine, but your divine feminine. And talking about what it is to be a true spiritual warrior. All right? So, for one, we have something about a designated man-made religion. And then in the second hour, about what it is to your natural powers and how those can emanate for you to be able to deal with this craziness that we need to, loves. So, without further ado, let me introduce our guests to you this evening. And then we are going to listen to Tom Cruise in action with Matt Lauer off of the Today Show, where he was going absolutely bonkers. But first off, let me welcome to the airwaves some of our guests that are joining us here tonight. First off, in the studios, we have Tori Christman. She was a member of Scientology for how many years, Tori?
30 years.
For 30 years. Okay, and she's not in Scientology anymore. Tonight, she is here. Witness, hello, can I get a witness? Tori is a witness here tonight to talk about the pluses and, well, those minuses, which come out of your pocketbook on your way towards ascension through psychology. Tori, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, and this is my fifth anniversary. I escaped out of Scientology 5 years ago today.
Well, look at that.
I did.
There you are, darling. Okay, let me also welcome to the lines Jerry Armstrong. Jerry Armstrong is a man that I believe you are. Jerry, are you there, sir, Mr. Armstrong?
Yeah, well, this is me, if you're hearing.
Great. Mr. Armstrong was the personal biographer of L. Ron Hubbard, and he is here to testify about where Dianetics, where Scientology emanated from, and about the character as it's been extended through this organization of L. Ron Hubbard. And it is absolutely fantastic, Mr. Armstrong, for you to be joining us here on Radio Alchemy.
Yeah, well, just to correct one thing, I wasn't the biographer. But inside the organization, I did the research for Hubbard's biography and worked with the biographer who was contracted by the organization.
Brilliant.
So to some degree, and, you know, it was, boy, 24 years ago, I guess.
Well, you know what?
I was doing the research for Hubbard's biography. A lot has happened since then.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what? We just want to thank you and understand that. I know we're going to cover a lot of things. We have a lot of great minds in this studio tonight. And so we're going to do our best to hit upon some of these larger flavors. And this will continue as we flesh out this alternative to psychiatry. So thank you, Mr. Armstrong, for joining us. And lastly, yes, sir, thank you. And lastly, I want to welcome Dave Toretsky. He is a professor of computer science at Carnegie Mellon University. He is a free speech advocate, and if there is any organization that works so much against free speech, it has been Scientology. And I want to welcome Dave to our airwaves. David, are you there?
Yes, thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? We have a lot of folks that have amazing information on their websites, amazing personal experience and insight. And before we launch into talking about the subject tonight, let's hear from one of the main spokespeople of Scientology. His name is Tom Cruise, and he was on Matt Lauer, and it went something like this.
Before I was a Scientologist, I never agreed with psychiatry. And then when I started studying the history of psychiatry, I started realizing more and more why I didn't agree with psychiatry. And as far as the Brooke Shields thing is, look, you gotta understand, I really care about Brooke Shields. I think here's a wonderful and talented woman. And I want to see her do well. And I know that psychiatry is... it's a pseudoscience.
But Tom, if she said that this particular thing helped her feel better, whether it was the antidepressant or going to a counselor or a psychiatrist, isn't that enough?
Matt, you have to understand this. Here we are today, where I talk out against drugs and psychiatric abuses of electric shocking people, okay, against their will, of drugging children with them not knowing the effects of these drugs. Do you know what Adderall is? Do you know Ritalin? Do you know now that Ritalin is a street drug? Do you understand that?
The difference is,
Matt, I'm asking your question.
I understand abuse of all of these things.
No, you see, here's the problem. You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
Aren't there examples, and might not Brooke Shields be an example of someone who benefited from one of those drugs?
All it does is mask the problem. And if you understand the history of it, it masks the problem. That's what it does. That's all it does. You're not getting to the reason why. There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance.
So postpartum depression to you is kind of a little psychological gobbledygook?
No, I did not say that.
I'm just asking, what would you call it?
Matt, that is the post... Now you're talking about two different things.
But that's what she went on the antidepressant for.
But what happens, the antidepressant, all it does is mask the problem. There's ways of vitamins and through exercise and various things. I'm not saying that that isn't real. That's not what I'm saying. That's an alteration of what I'm saying. I'm saying that drugs aren't the answer. That these drugs are very dangerous. They're mind-altering, antipsychotic drugs. And there are ways of doing it without that, so that we don't end up in a brave new world. The thing that I'm saying about Brooke is that there's misinformation, okay? And she doesn't understand the history of psychiatry. She doesn't understand in the same way that you don't understand it, man.
But a little bit what you're saying, Tom, is you say you want people to do well, but you want them to do well by taking the road that you approve of, as opposed to a road that may work for them.
No, I'm not.
Well, if antidepressants work for Brooke Shields, why isn't that okay?
I disagree with it. And I think that there's a higher and better quality of life. And I think that promoting, for me personally, see, you're saying, what, I can't discuss what I want to discuss?
No, you absolutely
can. But Matt, you're going in and saying that I can't discuss that.
I'm only asking, isn't there a possibility that, do you examine the possibility that these things do work for some people? That yes, there are abuses. And yes, maybe they've gone too far in certain areas. Maybe there are too many kids on Ritalin. Maybe electric shock
is... kids on Ritalin, Matt.
I'm just saying, but aren't there examples where it works?
Matt, you're glib. You don't even know what Ritalin is. If you start talking about chemical imbalance, you have to evaluate and read the research papers on how they came up with these theories, Matt. Okay? That's what I've done. And you go and you say, where's the medical test? Where's the blood test that says how much Ritalin you're supposed to get?
It's very impressive to listen to you because clearly you've done the homework and you know the subject.
And you should. And you should do that also because just knowing people who are on Ritalin isn't enough. You should be a little bit more responsible in knowing.
I'm
really
not prescribing Ritalin, Tom, and I'm not asking anyone else to do
it. You're saying,
some people who seem to have been helped by it.
This is a very important issue.
I couldn't agree more.
You know what? And you're here on the Today Show.
Right.
And to talk about it in a way of saying, well, isn't it okay in being reasonable about it when you don't know, and I do. I think that you should be a little bit more responsible in knowing what it is, because you communicate to people.
But you're now telling me that your experiences with the people I know, which are zero, are more important than my experiences.
What do you mean by that?
You're telling me what's worked for people I know, or hasn't worked for people I know, and I'm telling you I've lived with these people, and they're better.
So you're advocating it.
I am not. I'm telling you, in their case, in their individual case, it worked. I am not going to go out and say, get your kids on Ritalin, it's the cure-all and the end-all.
Matt, but here's the point. What is an ideal scene in life? Okay. Ideal scene is someone not having to take antipsychotic drugs.
I would agree.
Okay, so now you look at it and you go, okay, a departure from that ideal scene is someone taking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you go, okay, what is the theory and the science behind that that justifies that?
Let me take this more general, because I think you and I could go around in circles on this for a while, and I respect your opinion on it. Do you want more people to understand Scientology? Would that be a goal of yours?
You know what? Absolutely, of course. You know,
how do you go about that?
You just communicate about it, and the important thing is, like, you and I talk about it, whether it's, look, if I want to know something, I go and find out, because I don't talk about things that I don't understand. I'll say, you know what? I'm not so sure about that. I'll go find more information about it so I can come to an opinion based on the information that I have.
You're so passionate about it.
And I'm passionate about learning. I'm passionate about life, Matt.
Tom Cruise on Matt Lauer's Today Show. Boy, if that doesn't really get the hair up on your neck. And you know what? I think we are absolutely doing a service having Tori on, having Dave on, and having Jerry on. Because you know what? We're going to do this, Mr. Cruise. We are going to communicate about Scientology. If you are so passionate as to insult your host and to tell him he doesn't know schnee and that you have studied what it is, to, you know, what psychiatric medicine and all of this is about, well, then let's study what you're all about and what Scientology is all about. So let's start off with our free speech advocate, David. And all of this started back in the 1950s with the book Dianetics. As the foundation to the leading of the founding of the Church of Scientology in... Are you there, sir?
Yes.
Okay. There's something in the background, the radio, or...
It's not coming for me.
Oh, okay. So the beginning 1950s Dianetics start out by telling us the groundwork and why this was such a breakthrough and a dynamic book back then.
Well, Dianetics was a self-help book that Hubbard wrote just to make money, and the basis of Dianetics is the idea that painful memories from our past are encoded in our brains as what Hubbard called engrams, and that what you have to do is learn to dredge up these memories, and by recalling them, you can erase them and rob them of their power to cause you further suffering. Dianetics was briefly a national fad when it came out in 1950. It was a bestseller for a few months. And what happened, though, is that when people started practicing Dianetics, well, Hubbard, first of all, discovered that he'd invented a new industry. He sold this as a book, but when it became so popular, he decided to go into the business of training therapists.
Hmm.
So he created a Dianetics Institute in New Jersey and was training people to be Dianetic therapists. He was run out of New Jersey eventually for offering an unlicensed medical school. But one of the things that happened as a result of this Dianetics training was that people started recovering painful memories, not just from their current life, but from past lives. And this led to some controversy. Some people felt that these past life memories were confabulations, that they weren't real, and others decided that they were proof of reincarnation. Hubbard eventually decided that the reincarnation theory was correct, and that he had, through Dianetics, he had discovered proof of the existence of the human spirit, and that's where Scientology comes from. Scientology is essentially past life recall. You need therapy for all the bad stuff that happened in all your previous lives, and you have to pay for this by the hour.
Yes, fantastic point to end on, that your ascension has a price on it. Want to go now to Jerry Armstrong. Jerry, what I want to ask you to add into this amazing puzzle is the man behind the method. You were the lead researcher for the biographer on L. Ron Hubbard. Boy, it is such a thick amount of paperwork about him. What would you say you discovered?
Whoa. Well, I was inside the organization for 12 and a half years, and inside what's called the C organization for the final 11 years. And the C organization is the group of most dedicated Scientologists who are willing to sign a billion-year contract of allegiance to Hubbard and his organization. So it was during a number of those years I was on the ship that we had, the Apollo, with Hubbard. This was in North Africa and the Atlantic coast of Europe. And then we came across into the Caribbean, and then I shot some movies with him. And then I ended up doing the research for his biography. So I had a long history with him, in addition to coming into possession of his personal archive, which led to my becoming the biography researcher. And that led to my discovery of a mass of facts which contradicted what Hubbard and the organization had been saying about him in order to sell Scientology since the beginning of Dianetics. So for me, it was the uncovering of a massive fraud, including the debunking of the basic facts or representations that had lured me into the organization and kept me there all those years, and also debunked for me the whole efficacy of Scientology itself. So it became very clear to me that the promises of Scientology were fraudulent. And that led to my becoming declared an enemy of the organization, and that led to a classic lawsuit that resulted in a 1984 Los Angeles Superior Court judgment in which Hubbard was declared a pathological liar. And that really was the essence of, for me, psychologically and in reality, of what I discovered during the time that I had possession of his personal archive, his personal documents, and having been with the man and given my life to him for all those years.
Yes. Let me turn now to Tori. When we look at some of the philosophy that he brings out today, it is well understood that the stress of the mind can actually lead to physical manifestation of illness, so that the psychiatry or psychologist might not actually look at engrams as a scientific fact, but yet today they do understand that the mind can manifest illness within the body. What attracted you to go into Scientology, and what was and what eventually did you say after 30 years? Because you gave it a good long go. Are you okay?
I did.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell us about your journey into that.
I basically did read Dianetics, and I got into Scientology with the intention to help other people with Dianetics. And did it for a long time, like you said, a long, long time. And basically, it's sort of like a pyramid. And as you get higher and higher and higher, just more and more things became more aware to me. I was in it very deep. I mean, to the point where I was at the very top level. Tom Cruise just did. I did. A lot of people I knew died. I knew five kids who killed themselves who were not on any kind of medication and probably should have been. So when I hear Tom Cruise, who knows nothing medically, he may have done his own research, but he's an actor. He doesn't have a right to talk to people about medicine. I spent 30 years fighting people like him, saying, I have epilepsy, and they routed me out of the Sea Org that Jerry was in because I had to get off my medication. And I ended up having grand mal seizures in their quote-unquote churches, and people for 30 years telling me, it's you, Tori. You're the problem. You're the reason. Just like Tom Cruise, take your vitamins. That'll fix it. And guess what? It doesn't. And I'm not saying all psychs are great or all psychiatry is people should be on drugs. I'm not. I'm saying if they need it, it's a personal thing, and it's none of his business to tell people or any Scientologist to tell people what medication they should or they should not take.
You know what? This brings up, of course, the amazing point, which is how do people heal? You were attracted to this because you saw something that was a potential. It made sense. It came out of a man who, in the Navy, got involved in Navy intelligence and did some really strange things when he was commissioned to a couple of submarines during World War II. Actually, there was he was finally decommissioned out of the Navy when he went. He took his ship out, like in 1943, and just shot some torpedoes at non-existing submarines. And then he went 2 months later and shot some missiles at some goats on some island off the coast of Mexico, and they finally took him off that, so obviously, but they still let him in. He has a very interesting history, and I'm sure as Mr. Armstrong knows about, but there was something that he got through his manner that was enticing, you know, in a sense. But what I want to know about is its manifestation, Tori. What are these levels all about, and do they dress you down in them, and like you were talking about, it sounded like it was very coercive towards your healing.
It's extremely coercive, and what happens is there's a hope. First of all of us have a hope for betterment, right?
Right.
And so that's the thing, that's the attraction. The other thing is, if you've ever seen the movie The Truman Show, that's a lot like it is. You cannot see the walls once you get in it. My other analogy is it's like a slow, very slow train of mind control where people say, hop on. It's only $20. Come on. Give it a shot. And you're like, okay, I'll try it for the next ride. I'm getting off at the next stop. But then you get to the next stop, and they're like, no way, man. You haven't even gotten to the next car, we've got 20 more cars you've got to get through to get to clear.
Oh, wow.
Right? And clear doesn't even work. So it's on and on and on. It's like it's like fishing. You've got to, you know, somebody with a little thing out in front of you, the next thing and the next thing, and you've always got to pay, and you're always wrong. And it's a high crime. Why can't Tom Cruise talk to Jerry Armstrong or Dave or me? I'll tell you why. Because it's a high crime. Hubbard said it was a high crime to speak to someone who's a declared suppressive person. So Tom Cruise cannot speak to me right now. That's why Jessica is between Tom Cruise and Katie when you see him in all the shots. She's there to make sure that Jessica doesn't hear any of this conversation.
Mm.
And if she does, they're right there to handle it.
Now, you know, you bring up, of course, what Dave's issue is about, which is free speech. Dave, want to come back to you. Can you talk about, for one, the idea of what is the secrecy all about with Scientology? If they got something that's so groovy and good, they should be shouting it from the rooftops and have transparency. Why the lack of transparency?
Well, there's a lack of transparency because Scientology is basically a fraud. They're what people call a bait and switch religion. They promise people enlightenment. They promise them at the very highest levels of Scientology that they'll be able to leave their bodies at will. It's called exteriorization. They promise power over matter, energy, space, and time, which they abbreviate as MEST, M-E-S-T. And, of course, they can't deliver any of this stuff. And so what they're in the business of doing is making promises and extracting money from people. And therefore, they can't afford to have their big spiritual secrets revealed. But I'm happy to do it on your show and tell you that when people get up to the highest levels of Scientology, where Tom Cruise and John Travolta and Jenna Elfman and Kirstie Alley, they're all at these high levels, what they learn after the past life stuff, what they learn is that they are possessed by the spirits of murdered space aliens who were murdered by Xenu, who was the evil galactic overlord some 75 million years ago. And Xenu brought these space aliens to Earth, which was called Piggyack back then, and he blew them up with H-bombs, and then he collected their spirits and subjected them to a 36-day brainwashing process. Hubbard used the word implanting, not brainwashing. And then he dumped these implanted spirits here on Earth, and when the human race evolved, these spirits attached themselves to us. They're called body thetans. So thetan was Hubbard's word for the spirit. And body thetans are spirits that are attached to us. They think they're parts of our bodies. And what we have to do to achieve spiritual enlightenment, Scientology style, is to follow Hubbard's procedure for making telepathic contact with these spiritual lice and individually wake them up and get them to leave. And so by ridding ourselves of their influence, we will attain spiritual perfection. Unfortunately, it doesn't work.
Hey, it worked for me. Now, wait a second.
Tori was in here waving her hands. Tori, tell us.
I'm just saying it's true. What he's saying is true. And if anyone wants to actually read Hubbard's writings on it, it's on www.xenu.net. And the entire thing he's saying is written there. You can see it in his own personal handwriting.
And Scientology has threatened to sue both me and Carnegie Mellon University for publishing this material.
But, I mean, it's everywhere out there now, right? I mean, you know, with the Internet so huge and with so many people seeing the light outside those walls, you just can't keep truth down. And, Jerry, wanted to ask you, here you are, you're inside, I mean, in L.A., there is a huge blue mother church right there on Fountain Avenue, and I see people walking around in these blue uniforms all the time here, okay? And you mentioned the organization that you were in. Could you tell me a little bit about the levels that organization, you're like the organization itself, the bureaucrats of it, you know? But what are the levels first, and do you have to go through all those levels to to sign your life for a billion years to the organization? That was a lot of questions.
Yeah, it was, but there are really two answers to the question of levels, and one is the level that you as an individual customer would go up in the hierarchy list of levels. Their bridge, going up the bridge, consists of all kinds of levels from when you first get in and you become a release up to clear, and then through the levels of OT, operating Satan, up to the level, I believe, Tom Cruise might even be an OT-7. And there are some OT-8s around. I was an OT-3 inside the organization. The real control, however, of the organization is with regards to another set of levels, and that is the level of control within the organization. So at the top of the Scientology pyramid of control is David Miscavige, and he took over after Hubbard died. Hubbard died in January of 86, and sometime after that, David Miscavige solidified his control over the organization at the top level. The organization corporately that he is a part of or controls is Religious Technology Center, and that really is where the control of Scientology globally lies. And then they have beneath them the Church of Scientology International, which they claim to be is the mother church of the organization at yet another corporate or legal level. And then they have all of the Scientology organizations around the world. The whole thing is operated from a base in Los Angeles and out at Gilman Hot Springs, California.
And how many levels are there, sir? What is the absolute top level?
OT-8.
Well, as I understand it, they are claiming now that there are OT-8s. When I was inside the organization, it hadn't been published, but OT-8 was about as far as anyone imagined. When I first got in, and I say that when I first got in because the organization constantly keeps either raising the bar or lowering the bar, depending on how you look at it, and they keep adding numbers.
Hmm. According to Scientology,
levels, and they keep adding courses, and they keep adding books, and they keep suckering people in with the same fraudulent promises.
True.
And the whole thing really is, I believe, about to be looked at in a very critical way by the whole of society, and that really is what Scientology has come up against. They really have been able to get away with tremendous abuses and civil rights violations and really disgusting behavior by an organization that wants to be known as a religion or a church. And they're about, I believe, to finally come up against the whole of society saying, stop, what is the nature of this organization? What really are its intentions? What are its doctrines? And let's get the people who are running the organization out on a program like this to talk to people like me. I have been a target of this organization for over 23 years, and what they have done to me, I just urge your listeners, whoever might be listening out there, take a look at jerryarmstrong.org, and that's Jerry with a G, and just see what this organization has been up to with regards to one guy who just happened to fall into Hubbard's personal documents and get the organization's number, and who has had the temerity to stand up to this organization and all of its threats and all of its crimes ever since.
Jerry, thank you. Now, Tori, did you have something very quick? Yes.
Oh, just I wanted to say, well, no, I'll say it after.
You want to say it after? Okay, darling. It's just, it's a very quick station ID. That's what I need to do. A station ID, darlings. KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. I want to reintroduce the fantastic guests that we have on in studio. Tori Christman, a 30-year member of Scientology. Now she is 5 years sober, and she is out to come in and tell us about her amazing information and experience with Scientology. Also on the line is Jerry Armstrong with a G, his website is jerryarmstrong.org. A man with a very unique view on the man L. Ron Hubbard, and also David Toretsky. His website is www.zenu.com, and that's xenu.com.
No, it's zenu.net, and that's
net.
Not my website, but
oh,
that's
not
a good one to plug.
Okay, a good one to plug is Xenu.net. A lot of material up on there, lots of it around Scientology. So for folks that are investigating, as Tom Cruise said he wants people to know about Scientology, well, this is a starting point, isn't it? Because when I called the organization, they just, you know, nobody was around to talk. Very canned speech. And so we're talking to the people that want to talk, all right? Tom Cruise has asked us to do what we are doing tonight, to sit there and open up the alternative to psychopharmaceutical drugs and to psychiatry in general. He wants for us to come out and talk about Scientology, and we invite Scientologist members to come on and state their truth. But first up, there are people out there who have been scienced and coerced into science that now get to talk because Tom Cruise is talking as this head person or one of the high-level members of Scientology, and is really asking for us to be as analytical of this organization as to be analytical of psychiatry itself. Now, before this break, Tori, you had something you wanted to add on to Jerry's statement.
I do. Having been in the church for a long time after Jerry left, they do a thing that they call black PR. First of all, I want to say, for people listening, a lot of people will know Scientologists, and they'll think, well, I don't know. I know them. They're nice.
Yes.
And yes, there are a lot of nice Scientologists, a lot of them. But I think most of us agree, it's the top guys running these really bad things that really dramatically make it horrible. And one of the things Hubbard wrote about was called Fair Game, where he said, literally, you can lie, cheat, steal, destroy someone utterly.
Would you read that? You brought
okay,
that.
I
read
brought
that
it. Thing. Okay, yeah. It was in October 67, and he wrote, Fair Game may be deprived of property or injury by any means by any Scientologist without any discipline of the Scientologist. May be tricked, sued, or lied to or destroyed, L. Ron Hubbard founder. Now, they say they canceled that issue, and I honestly believed it to the point where I stood up in court. But Scientology, actually, the deep, dark side of it is very much like totalitarianism. And just like Tom Cruise is out there on the right hand saying how great it is, and he's up there, and we don't know the basis of it. First of all, let's clear up what is the basis of it. Tom Cruise, what he's referring to is that he believes psychiatry, so did Hubbard, are Nazis, and they're basically from Xenu, okay, which is the same space alien thing, right? that everybody can hear about on Xenu.net or wherever. But right. It's like it's a whole science fiction thing. He doesn't have any other information than that. That's what he's referring to. Okay, he can clear it up if he has something else about how bad they are. But Hubbard basically was against Sykes because they were the one clinical group, and I think Dave can acknowledge this, that could say he's full of it, right? Mm-hmm. Secondly, as far as a totalitarian organization, the right hand never knows what the left hand's doing. So if you want to talk about free speech, I was out opening up phony accounts that they were using to spam the internet to stop free speech, to stop people like Jerry, to stop people like Dave, to stop critics of Scientology. I didn't know they were doing that. My best friend and counselor said, this is good. We're just handling these evil people. But once I realized it, saw it, connected the dots, I left forever, and I haven't been back since. And now they've fair gamed me for 5 years, and tonight's my anniversary. I'm free.
Oh, right. Now, tell us this. For those of you that leave the organization, there are particular names that are given. What is it?
Suppressive person.
What is a suppressive person?
A suppressive person, and they're, you know, Hubbard said was a very evil person, and you're not allowed to talk to them. You know, you're declared, they literally print it up, and they pass it around to everyone in their organization to read, and if they don't have lies to say about you, they make them up.
And so it's a kind of a vicious little excommunication.
Very vicious.
Okay.
Very vicious. And that's why when Jerry said, you know, they're going after him, I mean, it's unbelievable the things they've said about him. And I believed it for a long time. I really did. And then when you meet the person, it's embarrassing. It's horrible. Because you realize, I never even knew this person. And I'm going out agreeing how horrible they are.
Yes.
I never heard their side of it. Tom Cruise has never talked to Jerry Armstrong. And nor has he ever talked to me.
Do you think he's even talked to the rank and file that are working at the main center on Sunset?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean the rank and file?
Yeah.
He might have. You know, he might not have.
Right.
I doubt it, not much. But, you know, he could have. I mean, everything, they have a great PR front. If,
yes.
if it would improve the PR for Scientology, he'd be out there talking to the rank and file.
Yes. Now, when we're talking about this suppression, David, and the suppression of freedom of speech, et cetera, I know Jerry can be able to testify. Tori can testify. There are a number of cases out there, and that's on Xenu.net. What have you seen? What kind of tactics do they use?
Well, they use all manner of harassment and intimidation. They use private investigators to dig into people's personal lives. They make legal threats against individuals and their ISPs. They try to get people fired from their jobs. This has been going on for 30, 40 years. It's well documented. Many journalists, people like Richard Behar, who published in Time magazine, or Joseph Malia, who did a more recent Scientology expose for the Boston Herald, have reported on the harassment that they've personally endured, private investigators and so on. People say, well, how could a church do this? What kind of church behaves this way? But Scientology isn't really a church. It's really a kind of organized crime that pretends to be a church when they want the advantages of a church, and they pretend to be a scientific group when they want the authority that's normally granted to science. But in reality, they're neither. They're a criminal organization designed to extract money from people.
And
well put.
Yes, absolutely. Mr. Armstrong, in talking about what you have personally endured, what is it? Is it like? Is it like phone calls? Is it your email being slammed with stuff? What did you have to endure?
Well, this began right after I left the organization in 1982, and they published what they call suppressive person declare on me, and you are becoming aware of the suppressive person doctrine, and I think that also society is becoming aware of the suppressive person doctrine, and it's a key to the understanding of Scientology, and in fact it's attraction even for people like Tom Cruise. But in any case, since I've left the organization I left in December 1981, they have sued me 6 times. In fact, they presently have an appeal going in the California Court of Appeal in San Francisco. There, they're seeking $10 million from me and also seeking to have me thrown in jail. So they have used the courts and their incredible wealth and really unscrupulous lawyers who can easily abuse the law, which is what Hubbard mandated. That's a part of fair game, is using the law to harass. And so they have done whatever they could in the legal arena to silence me and to have me jailed and otherwise fined for daring to speak out against the organization. They have hired thugs who have assaulted me, and I've been assaulted on a number of occasions by the organization's own personnel. One of its head PIs threatened to put a bullet between my eyes. I was harassed on a freeway in Southern California, and interestingly, similarly intimidated on the Autobahn in Germany in 2003.
I thought they weren't in Germany.
That they're not in Germany?
Oh, I thought that was one thing that they... Do they have a church there now?
Oh, they have an organization certainly there.
Ah.
Yeah, they have a fairly strong presence there. It's key to their presenting of themselves as human rights victims. That's very key. In actuality, the organization is a massive human rights abuser. And the Jerry Armstrong case that they presently have in the California court system is the undeniable proof that what Scientology really seeks is the destruction of people's civil rights.
What's interesting about Germany is that they do not have legal status as a church there. They're treated as a business. And the same is true in several other countries, such as Belgium. And that's been a major civil rights issue, that they claim they're being persecuted, and in fact they try to get the U.S. to put diplomatic pressure on Germany to recognize Scientology as a religion, but the Germans are smarter than that.
Yeah, the Germans are smarter. They actually have someone on their German government keeping eye on them.
Now, let me ask this. This is, of course, a very good question. How did Scientology actually qualify itself as a church in the United States, Tori?
That's a good one. Jerry could answer. I think it's one of those things where I don't know. Honestly, I don't know the answer to it. By the time I got in 69, and they already were a church. So.
Well, let me take a stab at it then. And in fact, I am personally involved in the organization's obtaining of its tax exemption, because a significant amount of their response to the IRS's questions regarding their activities concerned the case in which Scientology originally sued me, and in which the organization was declared paranoid and schizophrenic.
Hmm.
What the organization then did was, while they believed that they had me silenced, filed their answers to the IRS, which contained a mass of black propaganda on me. That is an issue which has never been resolved. But just to roughly answer your question, the organization operates on many channels at one time.
Yeah,
they
true.
Put incredible pressure on the IRS legal resources by filing 2,000 lawsuits. They put personal pressure on IRS agents by investigating their personal lives and carrying out what the organization calls noisy investigations at a minimum. So, and it is also, I personally believe that the United States government made a strategic decision at that point to align itself with Scientology, and that is evidenced by the fact that thereafter it has promoted Scientology around the world and defended it against its critics, and that it made a strategic decision to align itself with Scientology rather than oppose Scientology, which it could be said that it did up to that time.
Now, what administration? Where was America at when it?
I believe that it actually was an intelligence decision, which probably bridged two administrations. So I believe Bush 1 and I believe Clinton. Now, the actual, what exactly happened at that level of government We may never know, but something definitely happened, and it is a mystery which has not yet been resolved.
Tori?
I know one thing, Jerry, that I did that was really gross now that I look back on it. They had me go down with a bunch of people, and we handed out whistleblower things offering $10,000 for anyone in the IRS who would blow the whistle on the IRS.
Correct. That's exactly that. That was one of the channels on which
right.
they worked.
Right.
So they were getting internal people to turn against
to rat
the IRS.
Out. Right. That's yeah. right. And then they finally had a huge event called The War Is Over, and they announced that they had basically nailed the IRS and brought them over to their side. But one thing I want to mention is that Hubbard years ago said, if you want to make money, start a religion. And that's really what the bottom line was.
You know, I heard that there was some controversy as to whether he really said that or not, but he was. He did say that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He certainly acted that way.
It certainly set up that way.
Jerry, I wanted to ask you something before leaving this, and because that you had some of these private documents, when he is talking about, now look, you guys are talking about aliens, you're talking about a slow steps of mind control, you're talking about the unconscious and how it registers trauma and how that trauma stays in the body and can manifest physical ailments. These are all things in some way or another that are talked about and broached in a lot of different formats and different guests on this kind of show. And so here it is that a gentleman by the name of L. Ron Hubbard takes these things and puts it in together into this system. Now, we know that after he got out of the Navy, he was involved with Jack Parsons and the OTO, which is a magic order out in Pasadena, the Ordo Templi Orientis, back in the 1945. Do you think that his work of Parsons and the Babylon workings and his allied enterprises and things to this, did this influence what he knew about the idea of clearing, about the idea of the alien order? Did this work within this temple have that much effect on it? What do you think?
I believe, yes, that was a key point in his life. And I think that his determination to follow what spiritually is a left-hand path, and that began, I believe, in his relationship with Parsons and Crowley, and I don't think he ever really deviated from that thereafter. So I think that it was foundational to his determination to seek power, and I think that in that sense it also underlies what is really dangerous about the organization, and that is this insane determination or this lust for power, control, to crush other people.
Right.
Yeah, I
yes.
think that he began that during that period.
Well, it's amazing that in the philosophy they talk about the reactive mind, but yet what a reactionary organization, you know? Completely
right.
reactionary. Toy.
And I agree with Jerry very much that it did greatly affect it, and another thing to bring out is that very few Scientologists are aware at all of that original beginnings with Hubbard. They don't know anything about it. I certainly didn't. Secondly, one thing Tom Cruise doesn't know is that L. Ron Hubbard died with psych drugs in him.
What?
Visceral. Yes. And Tom Cruise, I guarantee you, says there's no chemical imbalance. Well, why did Hubbard have visceral in his body?
And what's visceral do?
It's a psychiatric drug, you know, that he had probably, you know, I can't even tell you because, honestly, I'm not a doctor myself, and I'm not going to tell you what it did for him.
Visceral is a tranquilizer.
Okay, good.
Sometimes used with people who suffer a stroke, which Hubbard was thought to have done in the days before his death.
But how amazing that he died with that in him, and here's Tom Cruise
yes.
going on and on and on about...
Well, that's not the only case where Scientologists have used psychotropic drugs that they publicly decry.
Right.
You know, Lisa McPherson, who was held by Scientology for 17 days and died in their hands, was forcibly sedated with both chlorohydrate and injectable liquid Valium in order to control her.
Wow.
One of my dear friends was, too.
In fact, the doctor who prescribed the liquid Valium, Dr. David Minkoff, lost his medical license for a year for doing that because he never examined her. He prescribed over the phone because Scientologists needed to subdue her.
Wow. Now, look, the organization believes in an impersonal supreme being. What is the nature of this supreme being, and how much does it play into?
That's pure PR. That's pure nonsense.
Okay.
Scientology knows that it would not be politically expedient to get up and say, oh, we don't care about God. They have to say something, but in fact, they don't care about God. There's no worship in Scientology. There's no notion of sort of doing the Lord's will, of humbling yourself. It's not about humility at all. It's about certainty and personal power. And so what they do, the acceptable truth that they can tell, is they say, well, of course we believe in a creator, but we view it as a personal matter, and each of our members gets to, you know, figure out for themselves what their relationship to the creator is.
Now,
and that's the end of it. They say nothing about God in Scientology.
Now, we only have around 3 minutes left, and I want to ask each of you to have kind of like a final statement. But what I want to ask is, just as, I mean, is there something in Scientology for the individual, as people would say, look, like Matt Lauer said, there's abuse of psychiatric drugs, there's abuse, et cetera, et cetera. Does Scientology have something positive to offer to individuals, or is it what you're finding is that it just leads you to a dead end? Mr. Armstrong, you start.
I would say that there is no logical reason for anyone to get into Scientology, to experience it, in order to find out that it doesn't work.
Okay. Thank you for that concise, amazing answer. David, what have you found out?
I think Scientology is dangerous. Their central practice of past life auditing is a kind of mental self-abuse. It's basically a false memory syndrome. False memory syndrome is a danger of undergoing hypnotic regression by untrained people. But in Scientology, false memory syndrome is a sacrament. That's what you're supposed to be doing in that church. And it leads to mental problems. Also, the group is simply abusive. They suck money from people. And when all the money's gone, they drop them. This is not a group that anyone should be involved with.
Tori.
Okay, now, as someone who was in it for 30 years, I can't say it's all horrible, because I enjoyed quite a bit of it. But I will say this, having been out now for 5 years, number one, even though it's enticing and the people are friendly and it seems like it's a great thing, number one, and it's extremely expensive, and you can get the same help in Barnes & Noble for $19.95. Number two, it is extremely abusive, as Dave and Jerry have said, and you basically cannot get off the train once you get on. It's very difficult. They break up families constantly. I lost every single one of my friends of 30 years, every one. Not one of them will talk to me, and my husband of 27 years divorced me overnight. And I guarantee you, if you're worried about your family, don't get into Scientology.
Let's talk a little bit. I'm just going to leave this and mention some of the folks who seem to be doing quite well in it. They have some spokespeople like Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Christy Alley, Kelly Preston, Isaac Hayes, Chick Corea, and Greta Von Susteren. And something that just came out into the news today, Nicole Kidman is an OT2. So she has spent she's out. Well, she spent her money in, and I don't know if she is a suppressed person, but I am very happy to have on in the studios Tori Christman on the lines, Jerry Armstrong on the line, David Toretsky. The website is jerryarmstrong.org to hear Jerry Armstrong's information and to see something that has a broad swatch. Go to xenu.net, xenu.net. I want to thank all of you so much. I hope that, Pacifica isn't sued over this. They have an opportunity to say, but Tom Cruise opened up the floodgates, and so we are ready to talk truth. And I want to thank all of my guests tonight. Tori, thank you so much.
Thank you, and make sure everybody reads both sides. Find out for yourself.
Exactly. Read both sides. Mr. Armstrong, thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And David, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
All right, darlings. My God, this hour just went by so quick, but that's what happens when we have dynamic, fantastic, brave people out there doing the great work. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County, Radio Alchemy.